You're listening to another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 17, featuring Chris Surratt from Cross Point Church in Nashville, Tennessee. And I am your host, DJ Chuang, hailing to you from Orange County, California. Cross Point Church is one of the most social media active churches on the internet, with their senior pastor as well as a handful of their senior leadership team and pastoral staff very active online. And though the church name Cross Point Church may not come readily to mind, you may well have heard of their senior pastor, Pete Wilson, at Without Wax, blogging away almost every day, as well as their worship leader, Carlos Whitaker, known as Ragamuffin Soul, who won a People Choice Award for his viral video, an accidental viral video that has become very popular. And I'll put a link in the show notes to all of these social media active church leaders, as well as Stephen Brewster, Jenny Catron, their executive pastor, and of course, Chris Surratt and his role as pastor of ministries and overseeing the internet campus. In addition to being very active through social media and as many channels as where they can find people that connect with their church or in their church, they also have a unique take on how they present themselves on their internet campus. And you'll hear about that and more in my conversation with Chris Surratt, the pastor of ministries at Cross Point Church in Nashville, Tennessee. This is a conversation about social media with church leaders. So how did you get to be the internet campus pastor, amongst other things, there at Cross Point Church?
Sure. Well, my official title is I'm the pastor of ministries here at Cross Point, and I'm on the executive team. So I oversee all of our ministries, which is missions, family ministry, student kids, groups, spiritual formation. All of that falls under me, and I oversee it for all of our five campuses. So I kind of play a central executive role here at Cross Point. And then I guess it was January of this year, we decided to launch an internet campus. And basically, we just launched it without a lot of plans or anything else behind it, and didn't have anybody really to kind of oversee it. So it went for about a month, just kind of existing without anybody really driving it, just a lot of us helping out. And then we decided we probably needed someone to kind of oversee the vision of it and the day-to-day activities. And I stepped up because in my background, I was at Seacoast Church, and we had one of the early internet campuses. And so I said, well, I can do it for a while, you know, until we find somebody. And so that was 9 months ago, and I'm still the campus pastor, the online campus pastor. That's kind of how it happened.
Yeah, and there's a story behind the story, because you didn't just turn on the camera and run a live stream. There was a particular occasion that prompted your church to try online worship. So describe what the weather was like when that happened.
Correct. Our first kind of accidental experiment with doing an online service was we had a flood in 2010 here at Nashville that was kind of a huge deal. And the biggest rain happened on a Sunday. And so that Sunday, a few of us were able to make it in to the church, and we decided that we weren't going to be able to have any kind of regular services because there was just no way for people to get out. And so we decided, since most of the tech people were there and I was there and Pete was there, that we would broadcast the service online for anybody who could, you know, could still have service and could still see it. And so that's what we did. And so we did a service, we did music, we just did acoustic music, and then Pete spoke and I hosted. And that was kind of our first online campus experience. And we decided after that that, you know, it could work. And, you know, we did it with, I think, a free service. And, you know, we didn't have anything really to go behind it. But we thought, well, if we can do it like this, maybe we should put some thought into it and see how it works every week. So, yeah, that's kind of how it started. It started with the flood. And we did our first service that way online.
Yeah, that's such a cool story. And you've continued to invest a few resources into running on it. Do you call it internet campus or online church or something else?
We call it our internet campus. We after that, we kind of got serious about what it was going to look like. And so we started investing in some equipment and cameras and actually built a studio here at our Nashville campus to host it, and kind of went from there. And one of the unique things that we decided to do that was really Pete Wilson, our pastor's vision, was he wanted to connect with the people online and not just show a service, kind of stream a service, because Pete's very relational. If you come to church here, if you come to the Nashville campus, he stands out in the lobby before and after services and shakes everybody's hand, and that's just who he is. And so he wanted the online experience to be as close to that as we possibly could make it. So what we decided to do is after the message, we have Pete go into the studio, and we actually do a live Q&A with Pete. It's about 10 to 15 minutes after the message, and we have people in the chat ask any questions they want during the message, throw it into the chat, or they can tweet it to us or whatever. And then we ask Pete those questions after the message. And so we do a Sunday morning experience at 11:15 our time. And so he comes up at about 11:50. We do about 10, 15 minutes. Then he goes out and does another live service right after that. And then we do an evening one, which is where we started at 6 o'clock. He comes in and does a live chat after that. And it's actually pretty cool. It's allowed people to kind of really, you know, hear Pete's heart, dig in a little bit deeper after the message. And, you know, we think it's one of the things that kind of makes our online experience a little bit different, and our people enjoy it.
Yeah, it's very different and very engaging. So I've enjoyed stopping in on a couple of occasions to see you and to see Pastor Pete online. And I mean, actually there, and you can interact with him. I know he's not going to put on chicken suit and jump when people ask, but still, he's very personable through the online medium. And that's not just during your online worship. I mean, even throughout the course of the week, through blogging, not only Pastor Pete, but a number of your senior staff have made themselves available online to serve other church leaders and just serve people. So I find Crosspoint to be one of the most social media active and engaging churches out there. So how did that happen? Is it mandated in your job description, and how do you manage your time?
Yeah, it's to come on staff, you have to have a certain amount of followers on Twitter. They check that. I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's kind of funny. It's not something that we really, you know, it's not in our job description. It's not something that, you know, when I was hired that they said you must tweet so many times a day or even have a Twitter account. It wasn't required, but it kind of starts from the you know, from the top. Pete started a blog a few years ago, and it, you know, it kind of caught on, and people started reading it, and then he started tweeting. And again, you know, I think just because of how personable he is, that's how he is on his blog, that's how he is on Twitter. People liked it, and it just kind of got contagious. You know, the staff, it kind of comes from the top down. And so Jenny Catron, who's our executive director, she also has a big blog, and she tweets, and it just kind of flows, you know, flows from the top and became kind of just the way we do things. And it's been interesting to see kind of how social media has helped shape how we market, how we, you know, how we do everything here at the church. It really, a lot of it flows through social media. Again, going back to the flood, right after the flood happened, it happened on a Sunday. Pretty much, you know, electricity was out for most of Nashville. You know, there was really no way to communicate with people, but we wanted to get out as soon as we possibly could after the flood happened to help people to start some flood relief. We had to rescue people with boats, and it was pretty major. And so what we did is we just put the word out on Twitter that meet us at our new Bellevue campus, which was kind of in the epicenter of where the flood happened. On Monday, and we're going to go help as many people as we can. And we just literally, we only put it out on Twitter. And I think that day we had like 800 people show up to go do flood relief. And it was just an aha moment for us that, you know, Twitter's great and it's, you know, it's fun to do, but it also can be a powerful medium to kind of get our message out there. And so from there, you know, it's really become probably social media has become our number one marketing tool. I mean, that's we have a very active Twitter account at Crosspoint that has like 10,000 followers, you know, and so when we're going to do something, one of our you know, if we're going to do an event, one of our planning pieces is how are you going to market this on Twitter or Facebook? in any other social media avenues. And it's really kind of built into the fabric of who we are.
Yeah, so you're actively using social media to as church leaders, communicating with the public, with other church leaders, between your staff, within your church community, and then also within your local area as Nashville. So how does that play into, say, your church, facilitating your church growth, as you are already five locations, you have a couple of worship services online? How do you factor that into your strategy in addition to just communication?
I think it factors in quite a bit. I mean, we definitely think about it when we launched our Franklin campus this past Sunday. We did a pretty major Facebook, Twitter campaign. We didn't do any like mass mailings. We didn't do any billboards. We didn't do any of that kind of marketing. We did it strictly through Twitter. And like one of the things that we did is every day we did a countdown picture Instagram of, you know, some Franklin monuments or, you know, things that were specific to Franklin with how many days until Crosspoint impacts Franklin. And we counted down, you know, I think it was from like 15 days on, and it really, you know, caught on, and a lot of people started retweeting it, and it kind of became a big deal. And so anytime that we launch a campus or a new initiative, we think through, okay, how can we do this through social media? One of the things that we're looking at is with our online campus, we would love to be able to stream it to Facebook. You know, Facebook has some issues with doing that, but we're working on that. And we think when we're able to do that, that's going to start a whole different and another level of dialogue that we can't do just with a chat box, you know, that's underneath the video of our online site. And so we think once we're able to be able to stream it into Facebook, that's going to start a whole new conversation and more dialogue than we've ever had before. And so, you know, it really, social media, all of that really plays a big part in any new initiative, especially new campuses, definitely.
Yeah. So as you're wearing the Internet Campus Pastor hat, as one of many hats as the pastor of ministries,
they're all cool looking hats, though.
Yes, I would love to see those photos on.
Got like a, you know, like a Harley hat. So they're all really cool looking hats.
Well, I'll be looking on your Instagram and Pinterest to see what they look like, as I'm sure our listeners would love to see them as well. So with you wearing so many hats, I'd imagine the online campus engagement is continuing to grow. And so what are you thinking in terms of raising up another leader to take on that role, and what are the expectations for online campus?
Sure. Yeah, it's funny. We're right in the middle of talking through all of that. You know, we started in January. It's now September. And so we're really starting to look at, okay, how do we measure the effectiveness of our online campus? With Crosspoint, our vision is three-part. It's evangelism, community, and mission. And so, you know, we're looking at the Internet campus, you know, how effective is our Internet campus in evangelism? Are people inviting their friends, you know, to view it? Are people coming to Christ because of it? And so that's something that we're looking at. In community, how do we create community online? And I'm not sure that we've figured that out. We've experimented with a few things. We've talked to other churches that have basically decided that you can't, at least effectively. And so we're looking at that. And then, you know, mission, outreach. How can we do that? One of the things that we're doing that we're excited about is we are going to do a global missions trip with our Internet campus. Basically, we just put it out about 3 weeks ago that we would love to do a trip. Here's the dates. We're going to make it Internet exclusive. If you want to go, you know, sign up for it. We're going to meet somewhere probably like Miami or Houston, and then we're going to go to the Dominican Republic, which is one of the places that we serve with our global missions, and we're going to do it as an Internet trip. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. We already have someone who's signed up from Japan, somebody from Canada, you know, from all over the country. We've had about 15 to 20 people that said, you know, we're going to do this. We're in. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So anyways, we're trying to measure, are those three things happening with our Internet campus? And if we're going to call it you know, a campus, you know, do those three things need to be as effective as any other campus, or do we not call it a campus and basically it's an internet stream of our, you know, our services? So, and we don't know the answer to that. We're still in discussions on what all that looks like and how do we measure it. And as far as raising somebody up, you know, we're starting to look at what that job description would look like. What kind of person would it be? Would it be a full-time job, part-time job? You know, we're kind of making those calls right now. So, you know, I don't know. DJ, what are you doing? You need another job?
If I could do it from here, we could talk.
Well, we may talk. We'll see how that works.
Well, we'll have to talk offline. We don't want to go on record just yet. Well, one last question to close out this episode. Social media can easily take up all of your time, all your waking hours. So how do you personally and how do some of your key staff manage their time that they spend on social media?
Yeah, I think that's a tough question. I don't know that there's, you know, a perfect way to do it. I think some of our staff, you know, they tend to, you know, it's a regular part of their flow. And so they're, you know, they're tweeting and they're on Facebook and doing work and it all kind of meshes nicely and they're able to do it. Me personally, I'm not good that way. I need to focus kind of on projects and tasks and then switch to the next one. And so I tend to, like, my mornings, I'm typically not on social media a lot. I'll maybe tweet something first thing in the morning, but I won't even look at it till maybe that afternoon. And then kind of toward the end of the day is when I start getting more busy, and especially at night, I'm on there quite a bit. So it depends on the person and kind of what they can handle and how good they are at multitasking. You know, Pete is amazing at it. You know, I can be in a meeting with him and he's tweeted something and then he's fully present in the meeting and then he's answering, you know, something else over Twitter. And so he's really good at it. I'm just not wired that way. If I'm on Twitter, I'm on Twitter and nothing else is going on around me. So, you know, I think it depends on the person and just what your personality is and how it works best in your workflow. And that's kind of how it works for me.
Okay, that's good to know, to give permission.
How about you? I'd love to, because you are Mr. Social Media. How does it work for you?
For me, it's changed over time. For me, I guess underneath it all is what feels right and to make sure that I don't drop my responsibilities. And so if I'm able to perform and cover my bases in terms of what I'm supposed to do, then I'll give time to social media. So, for example, 2 years ago, I was following probably 300 to 500 blogs through my Google Reader. Mm-hmm. And I would just skim those for kind of the latest news and the latest insights. But now I barely look at it maybe once a week. Mm-hmm. And so the number of blogs have grown, but the flow of content seems to have slowed down a little bit in some ways. Mm-hmm. And then with email, one of the things I've done to contain that is I only check it 3 times a day. So once in the morning, once in the afternoon, once in the evening. Mm-hmm. Just knock those out. And then Twitter, I use an app called Buffer. That was before Hootsuite had their auto schedule function roll out. And so as I find stuff on blogs, I'll queue them up in a buffer and have those have that content drip out over time so that they're not all coming in the same 5 minutes. They actually come out in the next 5 hours.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
So, it's definitely a thing that's constantly developing because Facebook keeps changing the rules. The way people engage with content is constantly changing. So once you jump on the treadmill, it's a matter of keeping up and
making some. I found myself a couple of years ago really too much, and my wife finally said, "We're throwing the phone away." And that's kind of when I woke up and said, you know, like, no more phones at the table at dinner. I need to be present with my kids. I've got to put it down and kind of made a conscious decision. I'm not always the best at it, but of separating that from, you know, the real relationships that I have right in front of me at my house. And it was a big decision.
That's really good. And being open to feedback is a very important piece. So I'm glad you're sensitive to that. I do that with my family, my wife and son. If we're eating out or having dinner, I put my phone away. Although they're not so good at doing that sometimes.
So, yeah, I understand that.
Lead by example. So, yeah, responding to the community is really important, not just the online one, but the offline one too.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, Chris, great connecting with you. online. I hope I'll get to see you in person sometime. I don't know when.
Yeah, I know. We'll meet up somewhere. If your listeners could see me right now, I'm wearing like four of the hats at the same time. It's pretty stinking amazing.
Well, you need that hat for your hair.
You're right.
You set yourself up on that one.
I know. You got me.
Okay. Well, say hi to Pete, Jenny, Ragamuffin Soul, Carlos, Steven.
Yep.
Who else? I will. And some up-and-comers, I'm sure, in the pipeline, too.
I'll do it.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Great chatting with
you. Thanks,
DJ. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, Chris Surratt. Great chatting with you again. And Chris is someone I've known since 2007, back in the early days when I was full-time at Leadership Network, and he was also doing some work there. And so he was one of the persons I met in person first and then stayed connected with over the years online. And as you hear, he's got quite a lot on his plate, and I love what they're doing at Cross Point Church and the example that they are setting and just living out how to be a church that incorporates social media into the flow and ebb and flow of their church life. Check the show notes for things mentioned on this episode. Would love to connect with you as well, so connect with us at socialmediachurch.net. You've got Twitter, Facebook, email, and even voicemail for you to talk back at us here at Social Media Church, or actually just talk back at me. I tend to use the plural, if you haven't noticed by now, those of you that are regular listeners. But right now it's just me, DJ Chuang, here behind the mic and hosting the website and blog for all the things that happen here at Social Media Church. Again, that's socialmediachurch.net, and our phone number is 949-354-3216. We'd love to get your voice onto a future episode here at Social Media Church and continue the conversation, because this is the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And let me wrap up this episode, cue up the music, and please, let's stay connected online.